A new investigation looks at the state's struggle to monitor Shell's petrochemical plant in Beaver County, which turns ethane from natural gas into plastic. News outlet Public Source obtained emails between Shell and the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, as well as internal agency documents as part of a Right to Know request. Public Source reporter Quinn Glebicki used these documents and public records to build a timeline of malfunctions at the plant and to show how state regulators responded or didn't. Shell has already racked up over a dozen air violations. I recently spoke with Glebicki about it. Thanks for joining me.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
You write that from last September, when the plant was ramping up to operate, to this May, Shell reported 32 malfunctions at the cracker plant to the Department of Environmental Protection. What types of malfunctions were happening?
There's been a whole litany of malfunctions. We've seen everything from burst seals, clogged strainers, poorly or incorrectly calibrated equipment, all things that kind of result whenever a plant is starting up, things that haven't been tested properly, or just kind of your gamut of malfunctions that might happen when a plant's starting up.
And what kinds of pollution resulted?
We're seeing a lot of particulate pollution, but the main concern, I think, from this plant is volatile organic compounds, which are, or VOCs, including things like benzene, which is a carcinogen, or a number of other chemical compounds.
You obtained voicemails from Shell employees to DEP about certain events. For example, Shell environmental engineer Alan Binder reported a flaring event to DEP on February 13th. And here's a clip from that.
So we are smoking currently. I'm watching it from the office. It's over 5 minutes at this point, and wanted to let you know as soon as I could here. And we'll be following up, of course, with the malfunction report and estimate. It's not an imminent threat to my knowledge here.
He says it's not an imminent threat to my knowledge, but there were complaints from the public. What happened in that instance, and how did Shell and DEP respond?
Flaring is basically when the plant sets fire to excess gases that it needs to burn off to relieve pressure. And the flaring acts as like a primary pollution control. So instead of just emitting those chemicals, they're burnt off. But when you're talking about a flaring event, there's often excess emissions that come along with that because the flare isn't perfect. So on February 13th, Shell called the DEP to report a flaring incident, as they have on a number of occasions. They were going off of their elevated flare, which is kind of their secondary flare. And you can see in the footage of it that it's kind of wafting away from the plant. And this would actually be the only emergency response by the DEP to date at the facility. So the DEP dispatched their inspector, who went to the facility. And when he got there, he spoke to a number of Shell employees, who basically explained what had happened and also explained that one of the seals had broken its seal, which had resulted in ethylene glycol being released on the plant's property. Ethylene glycol is toxic, and it can cause a whole bunch of issues to your nervous system, skin, kidneys, and respiratory system.
I mean, how was the issue resolved?
Through the emails, we know that Shell surveyed the area, and they didn't see any of the glycol on the public road or adjacent river. They said that they would resume their investigation in the morning. A month later, we saw an email that showed that an estimated 7,400 gallons of ethylene glycol had been released, and that a portion of that had made it to the ground. Shell had observed a droplet pattern on the site's roadways, and then they swept it.
In another incident, last Christmas Eve, Shell's Kimberly Kale called DEP and couldn't get through. And here's a piece of her voicemail.
Hi, Scott. It's Kim Kale from Shell. Sorry to bother you on a holiday weekend. I tried to call the 4000 number twice. It said, we cannot connect your call to the environmental emergency. Press 2, I think it is, and maybe it's 3, whatever. And then I called the other one to leave an environmental complaint and says, please try your call again later. Anyway, so I'm calling you to let you know we are flaring this morning. Due to the freezing temperatures, we were having trouble with transmitters freezing and what.
the DEP emergency phone line was down. They said the secondary complaint line was also down. And what we got were voicemails to a third cell phone of a DEP employee. That one, you know, as is the case with most malfunctions, they go on for a few hours. They release a number of excess emissions, and then they resolve once Shell can kind of get the facility under control.
What do the emails, voicemails, and other documents, like internal agency communications and public records that you looked at, as a whole, tell you about how DEP is regulating the plant?
Well, this is a new challenge for DEP. This is a new type of petrochemical facility, and it's one that the state has really thrown its support behind financially. And the emails show that their response in certain situations has been inconsistent. So thinking back to December 24th, when they didn't answer their emergency phone line, or even just looking at their inspection reports, which are public, which show that DEP isn't really using any type of technical or sampling equipment when they're on site doing routine inspections, you know, it really just kind of questions the agency's capacity and just their methods of monitoring to this plant, given the context of, you know, a number of citizen complaints and obviously all of the malfunctions and issues and excess emissions that the plant has seen.
What does it look like when DEP monitors the plant?
So there are a number of different types of inspections that they do. They're on site, they, you know, throughout the startup, but they do routine inspections, you know, sometimes several times a week. And really the procedure is they, you know, drive out to the facility, they park at different spots around the perimeter of the facility or across the river. They watch the facility for about an hour, looking for visible emissions, which are an indication of Shell violating its permit. And they also sniff the air for smells that shouldn't be there. But due to the inspection reports, I mean, that's pretty much the extent of their routine inspections.
How has DEP responded to your questions about how it regulates the plant and how it handles complaints by the community?
DEP basically says that they are, you know, doing their best to monitoring this facility. They say that even relative to some other facilities in the region, this one is getting more attention than others.
Did Shell comment on your reporting?
No.
In May, Governor Shapiro announced a consent order and agreement between the state and Shell to address the many violations. What are its terms, and will it help address the issues at the plant, and how DEP acts?
The consent order and agreement kind of acts as a blanket enforcement action for all of, you know, the issues that Shell has had during its startup. It levies a $10 million fine on the corporation, and half of that, I should note, is going to be used, or nearly half, for community projects in the upper Ohio River Valley. It remains to be seen what those will be. The consent order also puts in more stringent monitoring and reporting requirements for Shell, which DEP says is going to shore up some of their issues. But we've also seen, based on, you know, citizen complaints and also breathe camera footage, that these flaring issues have been persistent. There was a big flaring event on July 11th.
You've been following the Shell plant for some time. What did you learn through the process of reporting this story, which is really a timeline of these events?
It's interesting because I think I had heard kind of piecemeal from other reporting or from people on the ground about all of these numerous issues that they were experiencing. And, you know, the malfunction reports are public as well. But this really gave me a different perspective on what's going on internally, both between Shell and DEP and also just at DEP with regards to the problems at the plant. And it kind of just gave me the sense that no one was really prepared for this on either side. They weren't prepared for this amount of malfunctions, even though some were expected. And no one was expecting that Shell would burn through its pollution permits for the year in just a couple months.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Quinn Glebicki reports on climate and the environment for Public Source. You can read his story, Inside Pennsylvania's Monitoring of the Shell Petrochemical Complex, at publicsource.org. You can find all of our reporting on Shell's ethane cracker at AlleghenyFront.org/chemicalboom. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.